Welcome to the 278th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida, and just home from Texas. Yes, the Odyssey Austin Swim Run is in the books, and I live to tell about it. And we're going to talk about it all the podcast for the most part. It took place. It's the company is called Odyssey Swim Run. It's been in business since 2016, so this is a new sport. If you're new to this podcast, I am an endurance athlete that started out running marathons and then did some Ironman races and a couple ultras, and now have dipped my toe into the swim run arena. And so what a swim run is you can do a solo, you can do team, which could be male, female, co-ed, mixed, gender, whatever you want, and short course and long course. And since we're Ironmen, we signed up for a long course for our first swim run event because we want a challenge if we're going to go all the way to Texas. And the reason why we picked Texas, one of the biggest reasons, is our favorite registered dietitian, Addie Delaney Minerich, and my favorite grandson, Caleb, lives there. It's home to the Houston Cougars, so we were able to catch a little bit of the football game on the telly the day before the race, but I got to spend a little time with my favorite people. And then we headed on out to Hill Country, which is northwest of Austin. It's pretty cool. You're driving flat, 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 Texas, 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 and then all of a sudden you're in the hills. I felt like I was in a little bit of West Virginia, except the trees weren't as big. But very, very beautiful. Pace Bend Park was the host to this event, and it is surrounded by the Colorado River. So we swam in the Colorado River and then ran through Pace Bend Park. It is a limestone area, so the terrain was very rocky. It's like running on creek beds, big rocks and boulders. Water was deep. The temperature of the water was in the high 60s, which is a little nippy for a Floridian. The air temperature at start was in the mid-60s. Again, a little bit on the chilly side for a Floridian, but we'll tolerate the air temperature. So we drove out to the park the morning of the race and got suited up. A suit for this particular event is a special swim-run wetsuit, which is a shorty suit. So you have short sleeves. The wetsuit comes down to the mid-thigh. It zips up the front instead of zipping up the back so that you can get into your gear if you want to carry your own nutrition. It is a self-supported race, we were told. So we got these kangaroo shirts, which have, they're like a very light running shirt with pockets in the front like a kangaroo, so you could store your gels. So we loaded up with gels and put our wetsuits on. Then you have a belt because you're tethered with your partner if you're running, doing a team event, with a 6-meter somewhat elastic tether that hooks onto your belt. You also carry a pool buoy, which you can have strapped on yourself in a variety of ways. Mr. Michael fashioned ours with washers from Ace Hardware and elastics, strings from the Home Depot, and glue from Gorilla Glue. And so they were to be strapped to our outer thigh. More of that later. And we had swim paddles. So you have your you have to wear a swim cap, color for orange for long course, yellow for short course. You also wear a vest that goes over your wetsuit. And you have hand paddles because you can't kick your feet because you're going to swim with your shoes on. So you have a pool buoy, paddles, tether, goggles to swim with, swim cap, wetsuit, vest over the wetsuit. So it's a whole new outfit compared to triathlon or just running. all of which adds a little bit extra weight and a little bit extra compression when it comes to breathing. So there you have it. Our wetsuits were fresh out of the box because we didn't swim in them before we tried this. We never went swimming tethered together. We barely went swimming before the race because thanks to good old COVID, the pools are either closed or you have to have, you know, a reservation. And for working folks, the reservation in our area really weren't available. So wasn't much swimming. I did no pool swimming, did probably 4 or 5 endless pool swimming sessions, maybe 1,000 yards on the longest one. If you count strokes, you know, count 1,000 strokes. And then my endless pool went on the fritz, so I didn't even have that. Michael did some pool swims by himself, but nothing much over 400 yards probably. So we went in very swim rusty. Run was ready. We were ready for the run. Been running, averaging 7 miles a day. Had done some 15-mile long runs. So, you know, running shape was pretty good. Felt good about all that. So we got in our gear and we decided the plan was to take it easy. Wasn't sure how especially my shoulders would handle the 6,000 plus yards of swimming. But so we decided we'll take it easy and, you know, go with it like we can. And unfortunately, the longest one was the last one. So you kind of had to save something to the end. And I was thinking about saving something to the end. So we decided to go easy for whatever that was. Now, I will tell you that Michael and I have done several Ironmen together, not as a team, but when we go in the water, we always sort of go in together. And we finished pretty close to the same amount of swim time. So our swims, when we're in Ironman shape, are pretty close. So you would think that, you know, we would have some sort of, you know, synchronization about us, you might think. But anyway, the gun goes off. We decided to seat ourselves kind of towards the back because we weren't sure what was going on. If you looked at the ages around, you know, we were in the upper age group. There was an 81-year-old man there doing the short course. There were a couple men in the 60s. There was a 58-year-old woman that I saw doing the long course solo. But as a team, we were the oldest team at 57 and 58. Michael's newly 57, so you know who the 58-year-old one is. Anyway. So, gun went off, there we go running, and the first thing I realized is when you take a breath in with a wetsuit on, your air comes out really easily because the wetsuit kind of compresses your lungs, so it's a little harder taking a breath in and a little quicker having your breath come out, so you kind of hyperventilate a little bit, and that was kind of a funny feeling because, you know, running, to look down and didn't think the pace was all that fast, but it kind of felt short of breath at first, so kind of had to settle into that. A lot of people seemed to pass us as we were settling into that, but we just laughed because we decided that they took off too fast and we would ultimately catch them. So we made our way. And again, this swim run is you run a little. I don't know why they call it swim run. It should be run swim. But anyway, you run a little and then you swim a little, and then you run a little and you swim a little. And the total is about 13 miles of running and the swimming was about 6,036. So the map says. And we wrote those little distances on our paddle. So run one was, you know, 2+ miles. Swim run was about 900 yards. And then, you know, on and on and on till you got to the 7th one. So we ran down for our 2 miles, a little bit over perhaps. Starting to get a little warm in the wetsuit and jumped in the cold Colorado River. And we started our swim. We were all hooked. We got our goggles down. We got our paddles in the right place. We got our pool boy, you know, flipped it around. It was on the lateral part of our leg, and you flip it around between your legs, so you're all ready to get in the water. And we entered the water together, and we started to swim. Well, if you don't keep that tether tight, it kind of snakes a little bit in the water. And even though it's orange, and I was in the behind because we assumed that Michael was going to be the stronger swimming because he's been really working out his upper body, and I had not been doing all that much. So we thought the plan was that, you know, need be, he could pull me if need be. But if there was when we started to swim, I was swimming better than I thought I was going to swim, and there was slack in the line, so to speak. So when you would come and reach forward to extend your paddle out, I kept grabbing the line, and gradually I lassoed that line around my arm enough that I was somewhat, if you think about the cattle, when the horses grab the cows by the legs and pull them down and they can't move. Well, that was kind of me by the arm. So I had my arm, I was with one arm at that point. So I had to get Michael's attention and tell him that, you know, I was no longer able to swim because I can't kick with my legs and I now only have one arm because the other one's tied up in the tether. So it took a while to get us out. Of course, we laughed, and we started again, and it was kind of a start and stop thing. We kept getting tangled up until we got a little bit more of a rhythm, and then we got closer to shore, and then we got stuck on a branch. So if you've ever been fishing and threw your line in, and you know, you get stuck in a branch down in the water, well, that's what happened to our tether. So we had to dive down and untangle our tether. And that happened a couple times, actually. So that did slow us down. So the first swim took a while, and I was kind of getting a little bit cold and thinking that if we're going to swim this slow for all six swims, it's going to take us a long time. It's going to be a long day. So we're going to have to get this better. And again, because we hadn't swum any distance for a while, we got out of the water. We were both dizzy. And so we were laughing about that, too. So we were a little dizzy, didn't have much sea legs about us. And the way the Colorado River is that you think you're coming into a cove and you should be able to stand up, but not so. That deep water goes all the way to the shoreline. So you have to go all the way to the shoreline before you can grab a rock and pull yourself up and stand up. So again, sea legs, stand up, rocks, uneven surface, dizzy, you know. And now you have to move your pull buoy, you know, from between your legs to the side again so you can kind of navigate those rocks. And so that's elastic. You got to grab that, but you have your paddles on your hands, so you got to take those off to be able to grab the pull buoy. And you got to, you know, grab those and get your goggles off so you can kind of see where you're going. And of course, we're tethered together, so you got to get rid of that. And so you can see that little act took a few times to start getting that down in some way. So some of the exits were, the first exit was fairly flat to get out of the water, and then we ran up, and the course was marked by little yellow and orange ribbons, which they did a very good job. The race directors were phenomenal. They did a great job at marking the course. It was a great course. I have no complaints about the course or the race director or anything that happened to it. It was truly, our fiascos were truly self-driven. But anyway, so we get out and we get our sea legs and we start to run and we're looking for the flags to know where we are going. Of course, we see a yellow one. We skipped an early one, so we kind of head through briars and we thought, wow, this is really going to be an exciting trail run that we're going through, like, unmarked territory. And we started laughing and it's like, Michael, don't you think that if we're like nearly last at this point, that there should be a trail, there should be, you know, people stomping ahead of us, there should be some evidence of life form that have gone through these briars before us. And then we looked over and we saw the real trail. So we went over and got on that. It was much easier to run on a trail than through the briar patch, but it made it more exciting. So we, you know, the first exit was, pretty good. And I think we might have made it to the second swim. The second swim was a lot like the first swim, trying to get the tether thing straight. The second swim, my pull buoy elastic came undone, so my pull buoy started to float up, and I was having trouble holding on to it because the elastic was kind of floating behind me, so we had to stop and try to grab that. And again, if you've ever had to try to stop with paddles on, a pull buoy, things floating, wetsuit, trying to tie a knot in a pull buoy and rethread it was a little bit difficult. So finally I got that, just used it like you would in a pool and put the pool boat between my legs, crossed my legs and went on about swimming. And we got up and Michael decided that, you know, it might be a good time to take a bathroom break. And I'll digress to go back a little bit to our pre-race nutrition strategy since, you know, this is a plant-based nutrition wellness podcast. And, You know, we brag about, you know, we eat a high fiber diet, and we don't change anything much before a race. So we eat a lot of salad, a lot of oatmeal, and we like Thai food. Michael has an onion allergy, and so when we're traveling, Thai food is usually a safe bet so he doesn't get hit with the side effects of, you know, being allergic to onions. So we started with Addie Delaney Meinrich's famous apple pie instant pot oatmeal with raisins and blueberries and apples and pecans and chia seeds. Really, really hearty oatmeal for breakfast. Then we had a big salad at lunchtime. And then we got up to Austin area. We're in the hill country where we're going to stay. And we got our usual Thai food for dinner. And, you know, I always like things Thai hot. And so Michael followed right along. He likes things Thai hot too. And this had 4 hot peppers by it, which doesn't seem to be that much really for Thai hot. You know, they usually ask you level 10. But this had something, this Thai food had something that I had never experienced. It actually had the little pepper branches. So I had never seen what little peppercorns look like when they're green. You know, still on the vine, so to speak. So I ate one of those. It really happened. But the Thai food was, you know, it was a good level 10. So we were both sweating pretty good, eating some rice just to kind of cool things down. Luckily, we'd stopped at a supermarket and bought some extra cucumbers because we were really hungry waiting on our Thai food. And so we had a box of sliced cucumbers along with a Thai salad, which was a Mandarin Thai salad with a little avocado, which is great. It's a ginger dressing. We had spring rolls and this level 10 vegetable Thai dish. Anyway, back to swim exit 2, Michael decided that he'd like to take a pit stop. And so if you've ever taken off a vest and then a wetsuit and then a belt and, you know, and then had to put that on a wet body again, it took a little bit of doing and it took a lot of laughing. But we finally got him back dressed up, and we went on our merry way and making good time. And in the third swim, we're starting to get at it pretty good. Again, it was just really difficult not having swum together and kind of had any discussion about pace. And again, I was still a little bit afraid to go too hard because I was afraid that, you know, I would give out. And then have to eat crow because I had to be towed or something like that. So, you know, I was trying to swim with a nice stroke. And it's kind of funny. It's like golfing. You know, when I used to golf a lot, and when I hadn't golfed in a while, I would just try to swing nice and easy and I'd have a really good round. And so I was swimming nice and easy, and I was remembering, you know, shout out to my swim coach, Danielle Chance and Shelly Vakil. Shelly's always saying when we're doing master swimming, reach, you know, try to do distance per stroke, especially with the paddle. So I was thinking about Shelly, and I was doing my big long, reach with my paddle entry and high elbow exits. And I was actually moving pretty good through the water, which caused issues because that rope kept getting in the way because I'd get slack on the rope. So, you know, it was, again, if we had to do this again, and I think we probably will be doing it again, we'll need a little practice on the synchronization of our swimming. Because you go to the side, again, that rope with the current, you know, we swam a couple, the third swim was actually into the wind and a current. And so it was a little bit more difficult, that swim. I think that was probably about 1,100-yard swim. And, you know, so, again, that rope is kind of blowing with the current, and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to sight, you know, where you're going. You're trying to stay close to the swims all were along the shoreline. So you could get into shore if you were to have problems pretty easy. Of course, you get stuck in the sticks and probably drown with your tether, but you could get to the shore eventually. But so we were trying to sight, and of course, we hadn't swum since last year at Ironman, so sighting was also not our strong suit. So we were zigzagging our way up the Colorado River and zigzagging our way down the Colorado River, getting tethered, tucked. And this third exit actually exited against a cliff. And so it was literally, you know, big stones that you had to get out of the water, again, unhook your tether and move your pull buoy and take off your paddles and put up your goggles and then grab for a rock and pull yourself up, being a little dizzy, not as dizzy as the first one. And so you literally hands and feet trying to, you know, scale up the side of these cliffs to get up to where the run would take place. And then you go up and down and around and back down. And we had a couple of those exits. One volunteer suggested we use the steps, which was kind of a joke because they were like big rock steps that you kind of, you know, could pick and choose and try to decide which one was attached and which one would fall. But anyway, so we were able to get up and up the cliffs and down. Just one minor injury, a little rock cut on my thumb, a little blood, you know, just a battle scar. So that was pretty cool. But we didn't have to use the mandatory tourniquet that we had to carry. That was one piece of equipment I forgot to mention, that everybody had to carry an ACE bandage and for to be used as a potential tourniquet. So we didn't have to use that. It stayed in the Michael's pack. And so we kept running. And to get to your gels that we were carrying, you could unzip and reach in. And in the wetsuits also had a pocket on the outside. The race provided water and a little disposable cup that we carried with us. Well, it wasn't disposable. It's actually a neoprene cup that you can, you know, keepsake, so to speak. But you tuck that away in your pocket and you pull it out and get water. Or they had an electrolyte drink, I believe it was Precision Hydration, which was actually pretty tasty. It was just electrolytes, no sugars or anything like that. And then they had some gels, but we weren't sure about that. Sometimes they put fat and gels, and I don't want part of that. That makes me ill. So we carried our own gels. We use Huma gels. They have some chia seeds in them. Some of them have a little caffeine in them. I carried the Cliff gel. I didn't use any of the Cliff gels. We also carried a maple syrup and a little gel pack. So I think total, I believe I had four gels for the whole race, and I did take some of the Precision electrolyte drink. I kind of like that. It was better than the chlorinated water that was in the barrel. So I kind of like the hydration thing. So it gradually warmed up. It was mostly overcast though, so not real sunny. So we didn't really overheat too much. I think the longest run was about 3.5 miles, and that one got a little bit hot at the end, but not terribly hot. I would have probably drank more water had it have been available. I don't think I didn't want enough water that I would have say I would carry it the next time, but I probably would have maybe taken a couple cups at the water station more than I did. Just did get a little thirsty between the swims and the runs. I didn't drink too much of the Colorado water. The water was it for the most part seemed pretty clear, you know, some muddy entrances and muddy exits. But when you're actually swimming, I didn't smell any diesel fuel or any kind of, you know, bad things. So I felt like the water was pretty clear. Again, high 60s. My famous registered dietitian, Addie Delaney Minor, just asked me if I thought about snakes and passed through my mind just one time, and I was quickly told myself that at 69 degrees or 60s, there would not be any snakes in the water. And no one need email me that there might be. I don't want to know if there would be. I didn't see any snakes. I saw two little fish the whole time I was swimming. That was good enough for me. No gators. We didn't know other wildlife. I did watch, you know, we were in the woods, we were in the rocks for snakes because I think there are some rattlesnakes in that area, but I didn't see any snakes, and that was good. Michael was in front. Hopefully he would have told me that there was a snake and not let me step on it. But, and you didn't have to run tethered. So that was good. So we didn't have to run tethered. So, you know, that was really, the things I would, you know, you think about, you know, the running with the wetsuit and the accordion style breathing, that was a little bit more of a challenge than regular running. We had a finishing time of 5 hours and 14 minutes. Was the oldest woman in a team. There was another 58-year-old woman. There were a couple males in singles that were in the 60 age group. Again, there was an 81-year-old guy that did a short course. Most people were in their 30s and 40s, so I thought we fared pretty good. We beat several teams, so that, you know, we didn't come in dead last, so that's always a plus. Not that we were trying to beat anybody, but, you know, nobody wants to be the guy in the last, especially if you're the oldest in the last, you know, so we had to do something for the Masters age group. I think it's funny that, for the record, we did beat a group called Here for the Beer and Barbecue. So our team name was Heartbeats, and so the Heartbeats beat the Here for the Beer and Barbecue team. So I thought that was... that was pretty good. We also beat Dos Burros Lentos, so I'm not sure exactly what that means, but we took them down. I think for the next race, they have these all over the place. The World Championships, which we did not qualify for, is in Sweden, and I think those are like, geez, I think it's 26 miles or something like that. It's a far piece. I believe there's one in Boston, there's one in California, there's one in Michigan, one in North Carolina. So I think we'll probably be looking, it might even come back to Austin, because I really did like the layout there. It was a beautiful state park. Again, hats off to the race directors. Mom made a barbecue, which we don't eat barbecue, but she also made a quinoa salad with some really nice spice and lime juice. So that was really, really good. We, you know, as plant-based people, always prepare for the fact that we're probably not going to have any food at the end of a race that we eat. So we had some of our own food in there that tied us till we got back into town. If you like swimming, if you like triathlon, I think you would love swim run. If you like trail racing, you know, I think you would like swim run. If you're a good swimmer, it's definitely would be your forte. I think being a good swimmer probably outranks being a good runner and not as good a swimmer. So I think the swimmer probably has a little bit of an advantage. Definitely would practice if you're doing a team event with your partner so that you have some sort of plan and practice with that tether so you kind of know what to do with it. That'll be a heads up for us next time, most likely, unless there's COVID and we can't swim and we'll go anyway. If you're a trail runner, it makes it better. You know, we're not trail runners. We're both road runners. We've run a few trail races, but we certainly don't practice on trails or rocks. Rocks were sizes of softballs, you know, but not even. And and roots and, you know, things sticking up. And so I knew that if I fell down, I would be in trouble back here at work with my nurse for not being able to work. So, I mean, I was pretty careful not, you know, I didn't want to fall down. I think if you fell on all those rocks, it would probably be a pretty good injury, maybe one that would cause you to need to have some sort of airlifting. I don't know. But certainly it'd be a while in the woods before anybody could come and get you. So I decided to really run cautiously. I don't know that I could have run much quicker, but with, you know, waterlogged shoes and a wetsuit accordion type of thing. But I did pick my foot placement pretty carefully. Actually was concentrating so much my contacts kind of got glued to my eyes because I wasn't blinking because I was worried about where I was going to step. But it would be fun to, you know, I mean, running trails is just, you know, even though we don't do it, we really love it being out in the woods. And again, getting all those wonderful, good microbes. We saw a few people walking in the trails with masks on. And it's like, you know, craziness. You're missing all these microbes, and these great, great things coming from the trees and the water. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful day to be outside. You know, it took us, like I said, 5 hours and 14 minutes to finish. The social distancing before the race, people wore masks. We were kind of staggered, started every 5 seconds, you know, so we social distanced before we, you know, started one group at a time. Afterwards, people had a mask on to walk around a little bit. So that part was, you know, not as nice as, you know, would be with a regular race where you could mingle and actually meet people and talk to people. We met a few people and talked, but it's hard to make too good of friends when everybody has a mask on. You can't see anybody really. But nice people. Nice. The race directors were nice. Great swag. Got a sweatshirt and hat, and got to keep our bib, that vest that it's hard to get in on and off over your wetsuit. Got to keep that. Probably frame that and put it up in the office with my marathon medals. So again, you know, over and all, really, really, really good, nice day. I think it's great to get out of your comfort zone. Again, I was a little nervous about, you know, being able to keep my shoulders on for the entire 6,000 yards. We've never swam that far before. You know, even an Ironman, it's 2,400 yards, I think, something around that. Well, it's 2.4 miles, I guess, is the swim in an Ironman. You know, so I've swum that distance many times in practice, but never 6,000 yards in practice. So that was new territory. For the record, my shoulders really weren't, they were a little tired that night, a little stiff the next day, but that's gone. My legs were a little sore. They're a little sore, you know, a couple days after I ran today, you know, 2 days after we flew yesterday. I think my legs were more sore from Caleb really likes to dance, and so we had a little bit of a dance party Sunday night, and I think I had more quad stiffness from the dance party than I did the swim run. At least I'm calling it that, and I wouldn't change that for the world to be able to dance with my little buddy Caleb. So back in action, the next race for us is a 50-miler just north of Houston, the Rocky 50-miler by Hoka is the big sponsor for that race. Again, haven't run 50 miles ever in my life, so now I'm going to have to turn up the mileage. I really want to swim some more. I really enjoyed the swim. I'm going to look in to see whether or not I can find a slot at our local pool so I can keep, you know, my swim fitness up now that I have some after Sunday. I like to kind of keep that going. It felt good. And I think that's part of the reason why we weren't so sore is that you got in that cold water between runs, and it really was felt good. Just about the time you're starting to get a little cold from swimming, it was time to run. Just by the time you were starting to get a little hot, it was time to swim. So that all worked out good. But now we're on to running, and that's going to be a trail race. So again, you know, not much experience with trails, so we probably won't go all that fast. But, you know, we've got to bump up the mileage, so look out, plant-based striders. We're going to be moving some more. As some of you may have seen, follow me on Facebook or Instagram. We have a new little puppy, Sophie. And Sophie is shy of just over 3 months and 30 pounds. So I carry her up and down the stairs to keep her little joints safe and to prevent hip and elbow dysplasia until she's 4 months old. So that's a little weight training. But Sophie is starting to need a little bit extra exercise, so we're going on some walks. So she'll help me get the mileage up as well on walks as well as the run. So we just keep adding that mileage up, long, slow distance, and hope the toenails hold out. And we'll head for the 50-miler in February the 9th, I believe that is. Still hoping to have a marathon March 1st here in Florida. The Treasure Coast Marathon is the one we're hoping for to get people to come down and join us. We've got some members who are training for that and doing really, really well. So hoping to get some more people in the Plant-Based Striders. If you want to follow us and be part of that group, go on over to Facebook, Plant-Based Striders and Riders. If you want to post a ride there, you can. Plant-based people, try to post a little bit of what's going on there and share pictures of where you're running. That's always fun. Please go on over to our website, drdulaney.com, drdulaney, to check out the website and see what's going on. You can sign up for our newsletter. We're going to put our Thanksgiving spread that we have up on our website, so you can get over there and get some recipes on what to make for Thanksgiving dinner that's plant-based without oil, salt, and sugar, that tastes great, looks great, fools your family, makes you feel good while your other family members are, you know, tanking on all the fat they've been eating on the holidays. This is eating season. You know, it started with Halloween, so if you had regular candy around, make sure you throw that in the trash, get it out of your sight. Pumpkin pies are easily made with silken tofu and pumpkin and a little maple syrup. The crust you can make easily with dates and oats, keep that fat down. You know, all kinds of great salads. Bok choy salad with pomegranates are now in season. I got some of my favorite persimmons today at the grocery store. It's one of my favorite fruits. That mandarin salad we had was a great salad to have for Thanksgiving. You know, put some almond slivers in there for decoration. We do lima beans, mushroom gravy, and mashed potatoes. So we'll be posting that on the website, and you can sign up for our newsletter and get a lot of recipes off of that. Take you right into Christmas and our Christmas food. But the idea is to, you know, to move. If you're making your food and you're going to buy your food and walking in from the car, or better yet, if you could walk to the grocery store and carry your groceries and prepare your food, you're burning some calories. So, you know, that's such a better way to have a little bit more caloric dense Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner than, you know, just to sit down at a restaurant and eat a bunch of heavy food and walk out. So think of, you know, the food preparation and cleanup as a form of cross training that can help you stay in shape and bump your miles up, bump your steps up during the season, you know, help you to keep from gaining weight. On our members page, we're doing a wellness challenge this month with squats. So if you're one of our members and you happen to be listening to this, get your squats in. Squat you must. The more muscle you have in the backside, the more blood flow you have in your brain, the more mitochondria you have, the better your metabolism. Eat lots of fiber, get your microbes good, get your immune system built up. COVID be gone. Get outside, get fresh air, and I will be speaking to you next week on why we are not carnivores. Got a lot of good information on that. I love when those people shoot themselves in the foot with what they can't eat. So enjoy yourself. Eat plants strong. Eat your greens 4 to 5 cups a day. Swim a little, bike a little, run a little, and I'll see you later. Thanks for listening. Thank you.